But yesterday we were looking at the book of Matthew, and specifically in Matthew chapter 13, I started looking at verse number 31. And when you read verses 31, and I went down through about verse 47, I'm just going to point out a few things here. In verse 31, it says, well, let me go back to the very beginning. Chapter 13 of Matthew is talking about the parable of the sower. And it begins a series of parables, and we see the parable of the sower explained. And then Jesus shares the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now read this in verse number 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of the seeds, but when it is grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Verse number 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was leavened. Now if we skip down, now you see in verse number 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys the field. Of the next verse, 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And then verse number 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and they gathered the good into the vessels, but they threw the bad away. So again, you can see the common theme that you see running through Matthew chapter 13 from verses 31 through 48, 49. Jesus is describing for the disciples and for you and I today the kingdom of heaven. And this is what we were talking about yesterday. What is the kingdom of heaven? So we use the term the kingdom of heaven, and we use it kind of liberally, but we don't always stop to think about what it really means or what it represents or what it should be speaking to us when we hear people speaking of the kingdom of heaven. And again, you can see numerous places in the Bible where it also refers to the kingdom of God. And in some cases, you have to read everything in context. And that's why it's important to read the word and read it in context to see exactly what Jesus is sharing with us as we read. And again, I told you, I have a Vines. I've got a New King James Bible in front of me, and it's a Vines expository reference Bible. So in the back, they have a lot of words from Vines. And one of those words they do have there is kingdom. And they're very clear as they talk about kingdom. They're very clear. Vines is very clear that there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And they go to a lot of detail explaining the difference between kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And when you read in the Bible that it says kingdom of heaven, and when you read in the Bible it speaks of kingdom of God, there is some variation that's there. But again, you get that when you read it in context and understand it. There are some things we should understand are different. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes right down to it, we're still talking about the same thing. We're still talking about that spiritual realm reality. And there are times that kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God can be used interchangeably because Jesus himself uses them interchangeably. And I gave the example yesterday in two different gospels when the two different gospel writers are quoting Jesus. One time Jesus says kingdom of heaven, the next time he says kingdom of God. So in the same circumstance, he's using a different verbiage, which says, if Jesus uses it interchangeably, then you know what, so can we. Basically, what we're trying to make sure we get is a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is. Because we live in this world, so we don't live where we visibly see the kingdom of heaven. This we talked about yesterday. Our senses perceive the things of the natural world, but not the things of the spiritual world. But we need to be aware, and we need to remind ourselves throughout today, of the spiritual truths and the spiritual realities that are there. Because that's where our hopes lie. That's where the promises are. Everything that Jesus has done for us is already established for us in the spiritual realm. Now, we want to see it here in the natural realm. And we can see it. And as we walk in faith and speak the word, speak his word in faith, we see those things come from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. But we have to have our eyes, even though we can't see. All my eyes can see is this physical reality, this which in this natural world has substance. You know, we can see my Bible in front of me, the microphone. These are things I can touch. This is the natural realm reality. These things are real. But all of these things will pass away. You know, 100 years from now, if Jesus hasn't returned, odds are this Bible that I have in front of me will not be here. It's already looking pretty beat up and pretty sad. I can't imagine it making it another 15 years, let alone 100. All these things perish and pass away. These clothes I'm wearing, these rings I have, all of these things, this board that's in front of me, this will all be gone. And at some point, everything in this natural world will be burned up and gone. So the things that are the most real to us, according to our senses, our perception, all these things that are in the natural, are they real? Absolutely. But are they the greater reality? No, they're not. Because all of these things will perish and pass away and be burned up and be gone. However, the things of the spiritual realm, those things that we cannot detect or perceive with our natural senses, these things are eternal. These things are forever. And this is what we need to make ourselves aware of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul, in writing his letter to the Corinthians, says this in verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. See, when we're looking at things in the natural realm, it's very easy to lose heart and become discouraged. What about you today? Are you so focused on the things of this natural world that you've become oblivious to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven, to the spiritual realm realities, the promises, the promised land, if you will, the promises of Jesus Christ for you? Therefore, do not lose heart. And when Paul says, speaking for Christ, when he says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when he says, do not lose heart, this means it's a choice that you and I have to make. And it's a choice we can make. Choose not to be discouraged by those things that you see in the natural realm. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, this is why the things of the spiritual realm, the things that are unseen, those things are the greater truths, and those are the things we need to focus on. Those are the things we need to remember. When things in this life come that are opposed to the Word of God, when all of a sudden life seems to be falling in around you, and you say to yourself, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, aren't you listening? Jesus, don't you see? Jesus, don't you care? It's at those moments that we're so focused on the natural realm realities that we become oblivious to the spiritual truths and the spiritual realm reality. In the same way that when Jesus was in the boat and the boat was swamped and flooding, and the disciples looking around and they saw that the boat was flooding and the storm was great and they feared for their lives. And they awoke Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus was asleep in the boat. Jesus cared for them, but Jesus knew the word. He wasn't worried. He knew the word. He had said, we're going to the other side. He is the word. So if he said we're going to the other side, he could take confidence that his Father would bring that word to pass. He wasn't worried. He wasn't worried by the natural realm realities that he saw, the storm that was around him, because he was able to put his trust, his confidence in the unseen, in the assurance that his word would come to pass. Same thing is true for you and I today. It doesn't matter what storms come up. I'm not saying they're not real. And I'm not saying that they don't present difficulties and even possible devastation, but only devastation if we allow it. This is why he's saying, therefore, do not lose heart. When these things come up, don't lose heart. We're being strengthened, and you can be strengthened today in your inner man when you're looking not at the natural things, but you're looking at the kingdom of heaven. You're looking at the things of Jesus Christ. He goes on in his letter, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, second letter, for our light affliction, which is but a moment. Everything you're facing today, look, when you face a problem today, it seems all-consuming, and it's hard. Listen, I understand. I did this yesterday. Something comes up, and all of a sudden, I become fixated on that. And you forget everything else because you're fixated on that one thing. Now, a day removed, I can look back and say, yeah, it was a light affliction. Why did I allow that to disturb me? Why did I allow that to take away my peace? And why did I allow that to take my focus off of the things of Jesus, off of the things of the Word, off of Him, off of His promises, why did I allow my focus to come off of that and focus on this temporary light affliction? Because that's all it is. Look, at the moment it seems great, but in the scheme of things, it's just a light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now listen to what he says in verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, what did he say? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. See, this is part of the choice. When he said, therefore, do not lose heart, when he says, do not, that means you've got a choice. Choose not to lose heart. You've got a choice. And he's emphasizing that in verse number 18. While we do not, in other words, we make a choice. You can turn and look. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. You've got to make a choice to look at. You know, I'm reminded of a story that I just shared with somebody yesterday. A pastor friend of mine that I've known for years and years. He told me this story many years ago. His pastor, so this would have been the pastor over this pastor, was a man that commanded great respect. And if I mentioned his name, you would know this man's name. He has since passed away. But he's a man that commanded respect, and when he was talking to you, he expected you to pay attention to what he was saying. And trust me, he firmly expected you to pay attention to what he was saying. So my pastor friend was talking to him. I forget the circumstances on why they were there, but they were at some naval base somewhere, and they were out by the edge of the water, and there was a dock behind them. And so my pastor friend was looking at his pastor, who was speaking to him very seriously about something, and kind of behind, from my pastor's perspective, he's making eye contact with his pastor, but behind his pastor, all of a sudden, this huge nuclear submarine starts to rise up out of the water. Total shock, total surprise. And that's not the kind of thing you see every day, right? And so when you see something that's unusual and that is huge and magnificent like that, and it's a surprise and it's coming up, your eyes naturally want to move right towards that. Listen, if there's just movement, we tend to move. Well, here was movement as the water is separating and this huge, massive vessel is breaking the surface. Your eyes naturally want to go there. But he knew not to take his eyes. He knew not to take his eyes off of his pastor. And even though he saw that thing and every part of him, once he realized out of the corner of his vision what it was, he wanted to look at it. He wanted to see it, as we all would. But he knew to keep his eyes. He knew that his pastor expected him until he finished his conversation, until he finished his point, his spiritual input into this man. He knew that he had to keep his eyes locked on his pastor, and he did. Now, that'd be a hard thing to do, because if a bird flies by, you know, when there's motion, we're created to have our attention drawn to motion. If a bird flies by, we're likely to turn and look at it, because that's what we do. It took a choice on my friend's part. It took a choice, a determination, not to look away, not to look at what his eyes wanted to look at, but to look and keep his eyes where he knew he was supposed to keep his eyes and where he needed to keep his eyes. This is exactly what Paul is saying to us. Paul is saying, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Paul is saying, you can look around you. You can see everything in this natural world which will discourage you. It'll cause you to lose heart. If you're looking only at the natural, if you're looking only at the things which are seen with your eyes, if you're looking only at the things you can perceive with the natural senses, you're going to lose heart. You have to make the determination to not look at those things. Is it hard? Yeah. For my friend, it was really hard not to look at that submarine breaking the surface. But he made the determination to make sure he was looking where he was supposed to be looking. This is what we need to do today. Whatever arises in your day today, you have to make the determination. Remember this verse. While we do not look at, I haven't read the whole verse, this is just part of it. What a great first phrase that is. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. It is a choice that Paul says to the Corinthians, and he's saying to you and I, and the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I through Paul. It's a choice. Your choice is today, what are you going to look at? Are you going to look at the things with the natural eyes, or are you going to look towards the spiritual, towards the kingdom of God, towards the spiritual realm, towards the promises that are there? Because Paul said, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You have to put your eyes, choose to look towards the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to the spiritual realm and the spiritual realm promises that are for you. That's where you look, not at the things that you see in the natural, because it'll cause you to lose heart. Let me read all of that verse 18 as we close off this morning. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is what we're talking about. It's the difference between the natural realm, the physical realm, this physical reality, and the spiritual realm, the spiritual reality. Both are real. One is passing, one is eternal. Which one do you want to invest in? Do you want to invest your hope in the one that's passing away or the one that's eternal? If you look only at what you see taking place around you, you will lose heart. This is why you have to choose to look. Open your eyes, and you do this by knowing the Word and reading the Word and spending time with Him. Read the Word of God, and you read and you get insight into the promises, into the things of the kingdom of God. That's where you see the kingdom of God. And you know what? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. It's in you. So if you will look in the Word, you will see the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal the kingdom of God truths and principles to you. Make the determination to look to the kingdom of God, to the things which are unseen, not to the things that are seen.